As you're going to see, things start getting a little messy, literally. We have spent some time talking about the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and now we're going to spend a little time learning about what we do inside of it. And you do not want to be a sheep or a goat. That's all I got to say about that. So if you are a sheep or a goat, this is not your famous, your favorite passage. The idea of a korban, we begin to get introduced to the concept here. Korban was a sacrifice. There were certain set sacrifices that were done every day, regularly. And by the way, we still do it because our prayer services reflect the services that existed in the temple. So, for example, they had a morning sacrifice, an afternoon sacrifice, an evening sacrifice. We have our morning prayer service, afternoon prayer service, and evening, and we call them by the same name, Shacharit, Mincha, Mariv. So the same thing that was done, but instead of offering up an animal, we would offer up our prayers. However, the korban we don't offer anymore because there was only one place you can do it eventually was determined to be the temple in Jerusalem. Temple's destroyed. If you ever wondered why there's sort of this energy among certain parts of the population in Israel to get close to the Temple Mount is because that's where the temple stood, and to go up there is the most sacred place you can be, in a sense. The reason the Kotel is such a sacred place in Israel and in Judaism is because it literally is the closest place that Jews had access to where the temple used to stand. Now, we're a good 30, 40 feet below where the temple mount, where the temple stood. But this was the area we can get to. And that's why it became so sacred, because we wanted to get close to where everything, here it's happening in the Mishkan, but this later is translated to the temple. So what we're reading about here was transferred to Jerusalem at some point. So what's really interesting is that, as much as I don't really want to see an animal service brought back, there is something very powerful about offering something from yourself that prayer, unless you work really, really hard, doesn't translate quite as easily. When you take an animal, because you've made a mistake and you have to annul your sin by bringing an animal to have it sacrificed, you're taking something alive, something that's valuable to you, and you're bringing it to the temple, and you're going to watch it die because of a mistake you made. So you're not only losing your property, you're causing something to lose its life. I had an incident once when I worked here the first time. My first pulpit out of rabbinical school for a year was assistant rabbi at Temple Emmanuel. I used to live in Royal Point, Siena South, over on Sunrise or Sunset or whatever street it is over there. And one day I got into my car and there was a lizard on the windshield, or on the hood of my car. So as I'm driving, I suddenly noticed that I have a hood ornament and it's this lizard, he's doing this. He's got his paw, the feet planted on the hood of my car like an ornament, as the wind's blowing him and he's like riding. And so I pulled over and I felt bad. So I stopped. And I shoot him off. I go over and I stop the car and I go to shoo him off and he jumps on me. I remember the story now. And then he jumps onto my back, And so I'm like this. And some lady is walking her dog. I remember this thing. And I said, "Excuse me, madam, is there a lizard on my back?" And she says, "In fact, there is. I was wondering why you were dancing in the street like this in Palm Beach." And I say, "Would you mind getting it off?" So she flushes it off me. It falls into a bunch of bushes, a bunch of leaves in the gutter, and a crow flies down off of a tree and grabs it and flew off with it. And I go, "Well, that didn't work out the way I planned. I actually stopped my car to save its life and I caused its death." And it felt bad. Inadvertently. I don't want to, I don't like killing something. So there was an emotional thing. It was like, "Oh my God, this thing just died because of me." That's the korban in a sense. Something would die on your behalf. It dies instead of you. It pays a penalty for what we did instead of us paying the penalty. And that's very powerful. And you would bring it, and korban means karov. It's actually from the root of Hebrew, which means karov, which means to come closer, you know, to bring closer. And you bring yourself closer to God. So when the temple was destroyed, we had no choice but except to find a substitute, and that substitute became prayer. So how do you bring, you know, part of yourself with your prayers? Like, how do you have that closeness to God? How do you bring something? You have to bring something intangible. You have to bring something from your heart. You have to bring your emotions and your earnestness and your sense of true repentance or longing or whatever emotion it is you want to bring in your prayer. And that is way, way more difficult than simply grabbing a critter and bringing it to the temple. So we have a much harder job than they have. You know, here it's easy. You bring an animal and you're done. Us, we have to work harder. So I hope, as we're reading about Korbanot today, that we have a chance to literally think about what it is we bring here. You know, what are we bringing? You know, do we bring enough humility to actually be changed? You know, I remember I'm not going to talk a lot during my sermon, so don't feel bad. You know, it's going to be compensated at the other end. I remember going to an Orthodox synagogue, and I'm not bashing Orthodoxy, in L.A., and I don't remember which one. I think it was Young Israel. Forget it. Never mentioned. Don't mention names. So anyway, I went to this particular synagogue, and we're reading the Torah on Saturday morning, and the entire congregation is pretty educated. You know, they're all following along in the Hebrew, and as they did not have our Torah readers, you know, who read with great aplomb. In fact, they had a guy who was making lots of mistakes. And the entire congregation was chiming in, correcting him whenever he made a mistake. And I thought to myself, there's something wrong with this. You come to temple, you're reading the Torah, which is supposed to inspire you to do something, to learn, to grow, to get an insight into human nature, into your nature, and change. And what do you end up doing? You're looking for mistakes in somebody else. You know, that's what they brought to the temple with them, a desire to find the mistake in somebody else. That's the wrong intention. What do we bring with us when we come here? Why are we here? What do we want to bring both to the synagogue, and what do we want to bring with us as a result? And that's a question that I think should be asked by all of us when we come into these doors. What is it that I need today? What do I need to work on? What is it that I need to come closer? What should I bring to God and to myself to bring me to a different level? Is it humility? Is it patience? Is it, you know, a sense in my own worth? Is it, you know, more loving behavior towards others? You know, more kindness, more consideration? What is it that I need to bring with me in my prayers and ask for? And that's something, as we read about the Korbanot, I hope we will all think about in our own way.